I think this whole space is going to be explosive in the next few years. Every patient interaction would have an AI guardian angel looking over it, ensuring quality of care is good, you're not missing anything important, collecting information, ensuring the patient gets the care that they need at the time they need it. This is a world where diagnostic errors, I've mentioned, 370,000 deaths on top of 400,000 permanent disability. All of that could be at least halved if we do this correctly. The impact on human lives and society as a whole is going to be immense.
Hello and welcome back to Where AI Works, conversations at the intersection of AI and industry, brought to you by Wharton in collaboration with Accenture. I'm your host, Sergey Nitesin. I'm a professor of operations, information and decisions at the Wharton School, and I'm a senior vice dean for innovation and global initiatives. It is our goal to cut through the noise and to deliver actionable insights for business leaders by combining cutting-edge research with real-world case studies. Things are changing fast. So without further ado, let's dive in.
AI has been called medicine's biggest moment since antibiotics.
A task that can take specialist doctors hours, now being done in seconds through artificial intelligence.
AI is not replacing your doctor. It's just another tool in the toolbox to help take care of you.
On this episode, I'm excited to discuss AI transformation and implementation in a healthcare context. We'll explore what it takes to go from a single-use algorithm to an enterprise-grade platform that hospitals rely on every day. And we will find out how real-world ROI, not hype, is driving adoption. In my own research at Wharton, I learned that it is particularly difficult to implement innovation in an industry like healthcare. Healthcare is heavily regulated, and as such, this usually slows down fundamental innovations, in particular platforms. To explain how this company cracked the code on monetization and what historically has been a fairly slow-moving sector, I'm thrilled now to introduce the CEO of ADOC, Elad Valach. Elad, welcome to Where AI Works.
Sergey, thanks for having me.
So before we dive into the AI conversation, I wonder if you could give our listeners a little bit of a background on ADOC and what led you to create this company back in 2016.
Well, first of all, wow, 9 years, that is a long time. But, you know, we started the company really with the mission to reduce diagnostic errors. I had a few family stories of deaths and injuries with diagnostic errors, and I think I became immersed in this world of diagnostic quality. There is ample data that we need to improve quality of care. If you look at Hopkins University, for example, published about a year ago a study about the burden of diagnostic errors in the U.S. Every year, there are about 370,000 deaths due to diagnostic errors.
Incredible.
370,000. That is the third largest cause of death. That is 10 times more than car accidents and gun violence and all of those, right? We're talking about a massive problem that, by the way, if you look at the economical cost of it, this could easily be $500 billion to $1 trillion a year that is caused by this plague. So when we came to the AI scene, we saw incredibly amazing and passionate physicians that were really passionate about the care they deliver, but a healthcare system that is really bursting at the seams and having all these quality issues caused by this immense pressure we have on the system, the labor shortage, the over-specialization of care. And we wanted to help, really, with clinical AI. So I was an AI researcher originally, not from healthcare, but from defense. And we came in to spend a bunch of time in hospitals and saw that really clinicians are now doing all their work manually. You mentioned that regulated industries are slow to adopt technology. That is absolutely the case. And AI seemed to be like this very obvious tool to help them, right? If you look at, let's say, a radiologist, they could look at a CT scan of the head, which is 500 images, and they need to find the most subtle of signals in that scan. It's like a Where's Waldo, but Waldo is somewhere in a movie, right? So you need to somehow do that. And we're expecting them to spend maybe a minute on a scan to find the subtlest of findings. Obviously, AI can help them triage through the noise. And that was really the vision of ADOC is, can we build something that is comprehensive and can transform the way that people deliver care, not just on a single disease, but in a broader sense.
How do you go from something that just offers this point solution for radiologists who are doing diagnosis to an AI tool that is a platform for hospitals?
That's a really good question, because obviously if it was easy to build a platform, then anybody would do it. So the first 3 years of the company, we actually didn't focus almost at all on the application, but on the infrastructure to build it at scale. And that was a very important lesson for us, because we saw that indeed our assumption was true, that if you just build point solution, you will get stuck really, really quickly. The second thing that we've learned was actually something that we've learned by, a mistake or errors we did along the way. When we started selling point solutions, it was very easy for us to identify the buyer of the solution and the beneficiary. We had the same who's the user, who is the same as the buyer. It was very easy. We always had for this initial solution, the radiologist at heart. Over time, we started learning that actually, you have to think about it not from an individual perspective, but from a system perspective, especially to build a platform. And let me explain what I mean. One of the value propositions for the AI tool is the ability to triage patients. So imagine you have a backlog of 1,000 patients. We can tell you, hey, patient number 950 actually has something acute. You should take a look at that patient right now. If you look at how healthcare works, and we can dive deeper into it, radiologists don't get paid more to read that patient on time. Mm-hmm. They're only incentivized to just read through their whole backlog. So why would they even invest in AI that helps them do that? Well, the reason is not in radiology. It's actually downstream from radiology, because the emergency department is solely dependent on imaging. So if you want to improve your ED throughput, you better know how to triage those patients. So what we've learned is that you have not to think from an individual perspective, but from an enterprise perspective. And that allows us to unlock the possibilities of a platform, because then we could go and say, look, these are these 50 use cases that different parts of the organization cares about, but you have one C-suite owner that is going to do the AI adoption. And now it makes sense to think from a platform perspective versus a point solution.
Yeah, essentially, it sounds like what you saw is that the benefits of your solution might accrue to someone who is not the user of the solution, but someone who is upstream or downstream.
Absolutely. And I actually think it's broader than healthcare. I think a lot of people, when they think about AI, they think about efficiency. Oh, can I do things faster? And it's absolutely a value proposition. I'm not arguing against efficiency. But I think we need to think about from a system efficiency, you can unlock so much bigger gains. Somebody asked me, for example, when I implement AI for my sales team, do I really care about my sales team efficiency? I mean, a bit, but if they can increase revenue, oh my God, I care so much more. So thinking about quality and system efficiency, it was a really important observation for us, at least in healthcare.
Fascinating. So how did you go about discovering all these learnings? Was it through some experimentation? Was it through customer push, customer discovery, or through trying a few things and showing customers what's possible with AI because they didn't know, for example?
We found that in healthcare specifically, AI is a new category. So it's very hard for people to imagine the possibilities, especially true if, again, as you mentioned, the user is not the main beneficiary sometimes. So a lot of our work was data-driven extraction of value. You know, you have this saying, if you build it, they will come. I found that to be untrue. You have to build it, but you also have to show the value and be able to extract it. So if I think about AI, the loop for AI for healthcare, it's you have to find the patients, then you have to generate an action on those patients. Just finding the patient isn't sufficient. So find, act, but then measure. Find, act, and measure. And if you don't have the full loop, then you can either find the patients, but nothing happens with them, so nobody cares. Or you actually act, but nobody knows what the value is. So the ability to measure the value was a very important facet of the adoption.
So I'm hearing three things so far. So you talked about necessity to focus on scale from day one. And that kind of immediately leads you away from point solutions and into something bigger, into system solutions. The second point that you mentioned is always have a systems perspective, because you might be doing lots of good, but somebody who is a user of the solution does not necessarily benefit from the solution. So you need to look at the entire system, improve the entire system. And finally, in order to be able to do that, you need to find, act, and then measure. So in order to demonstrate benefits of AI to someone who is not even using AI, then you need to have very measurable outcome of your implementation of AI.
Absolutely. And especially on that last point, if you think about healthcare specifically, so the burden on healthcare is massive right now. If you look at margin, those who don't know, health systems have very lousy margin, typically in the single digit percentage, below 5 would be a typical health system. So on the one hand, they're very passionate about improving care. And these are big organizations, typically billions of dollars in revenue, right? Tens of thousands of employees. But on the other, very thin margins. So even if they want to invest in quality and doing what's right for patients, they need to find sustainable innovation models. So the ability to measure the outcomes, both from a clinical perspective, in our case, because we do the clinical side, but also the financial, is really key. It's very complex, but I think that's very important and maybe different from some other areas of enterprise where they're saying, oh, I'll just adopt AI and I'll assume there will be benefits. Here, you have to be a lot more educated about how they operate and how you can actually drive financial value.
I want to talk about specific challenges that you faced around monetization. I know that many AI startups struggle to monetize because ROI is very, very hard to measure. And, you know, in healthcare, it's particularly difficult because adoption and budget cycles are so notoriously slow, right? Waiting for this insurance reimbursement, for, you know, paperwork to go through the hospital and so on. So measuring things should be triple hard in healthcare. So how did you do it?
So the first thing is that there is a bit of a, like, let's say, lack of awareness on how the different pieces connect. So healthcare as a whole is a very fragmented industry. For example, when you go to a hospital, you could have the hospital being one entity and the physician giving you the treatment be a whole different entity. One way you solve it in healthcare is by getting reimbursement, as you mentioned, Sergey. So you ask for the government, you get a code. That is incredibly slow. There are some companies that do that, but because of we want to do, as mentioned, hundreds of applications, it was just too slow for us. So we had to find ways where like a health system as an entity would generate this ROI. And the way we would find that ROI was a very laborious process. We had to actually connect to all the data sources and with our partners and customers together, actually create hypotheses as to where the value is and then investigate it. I'll give an example. We have this capability of getting faster to patients. And our initial hypothesis was, well, okay, why do you care about that? It's better care. You'll reduce morbidity. That's valuable. But how do you operationalize it? We've actually found that if you get to the right patient faster, there is a massive link into how the whole ED or inpatient stay for the patient continues. So then we had to measure that. But when we saw it like one health system, second health system, third health system, oh, we have a clear link. So now we know we've established a new hypothesis, right? That you reduce time to diagnosis, you improve the throughput for the whole hospital. And we did many of those over time, such that we were able to identify these gaps and then quantify them. One of the interesting areas we found is that there is a lot of value between the cracks, especially in healthcare, but I think in many enterprises. So for example, there is one use case that I found fascinating for pulmonary embolism. So in recent years, so pulmonary embolism, I'm simplifying, is basically a clot in the arteries of the lung. It could kill you, so you definitely want to find it and treat it. And what we found was that even if you find it, then for certain high-risk pulmonary embolism patients, you want to actually do an intervention. You go in and remove the clot physically. To do that, you need a specialist team. So the ED physician needs to say, hey, I have a patient, it's a high-risk one, let me get a team on board to evaluate this patient. That process is broken. To understand how broken, in great health system, University Hospitals in Cleveland, NYP in New York, right? Amazing health systems, over 50% of the high-risk patients did not even reach the team.
Wow.
So a lot of people fall between the cracks. So we found AI can have massive impact on those areas of information gaps, because what they do is that they have an AI solution that can actually pick up on those high-risk patients and alert the team immediately to evaluate those patients. Doesn't replace a physician at all, but making sure you give consistent care. And we see massive increase in the number of appropriate procedures that they do because of that.
It sounds like you don't really get reimbursed for the use of AI, right? Because there is no such thing as AI-based reimbursement in healthcare, right? So instead, you focus on KPIs which are meaningful for patients or for the doctors.
Exactly. Or for the health system, patient, doctor, or health system.
And how do you discover those KPIs, those kind of measurable outcomes to begin with? They must come from the customer, be it the final patient or a doctor, or is it something that is just consistently tracked in healthcare, so it's kind of easy to pinpoint?
Honestly, I would say neither. I would say it's a discovery process where you work together with the customer, but it's not obvious to the customer. If you'd ask them, they may not know. So it's this iterative process where you as like the entrepreneur or product team need to come up with these hypotheses and keep testing them all the time. And even look at the data, sometimes they don't even know that these links exist. Sometimes they do, and I think we have really good people in healthcare, but sometimes we just lack the data. It's something you can't really outsource or assume somebody would know. It's a lot of active discovery that needs to happen. And by the way, let me share on this point a mistake we made in the early days. So we wanted to monetize it on a per-patient basis. So we said every patient you'll analyze with AI, you'll pay us whatever amount for the analysis. And this was a disaster. And the reason why it was a disaster is because it encouraged your customers to do cherry picking. And because there is no clear understanding of where the value is in advance, then this cherry picking is disastrous to the adoption of value. So, and as an example, in healthcare, a lot of the value comes from incidental findings. So we gave this pulmonary embolism example prior, just to stay on point. Pulmonary embolism can be found where you're expecting it and you have shortness of breath. But it can also be found in cancer patients with almost no symptoms. Only a small portion of those patients, but from the whole population of your cancer diagnosis. So you have to run it on every patient, almost like a safety net, which is a lot of the power of AI, right? You can have this automated screening. So we found that if you're encouraging customers to do cherry picking, it's very counterproductive to the actual value realization. So thinking about the actual scalable factor, like what do you scale so the customer would use? Is it user? Is it patients? Or how do you build this was actually another really key task we had to do in the early days.
So let's move to the third part of the discussion where I want to look a little bit into the future. You are now positioning ADOC as an operating system for the modern hospital. That's a very bold shift. What does that mean for your business model going forward?
If you look at the world today, we have the most FDA clearances in our category for clinical AI. But even with all of those, we only have maybe 30 solutions on the platform. That is out of 700 different admission codes or 70,000 different disease codes. So there's a lot more ground to cover that is only enabled now with the advent of new technologies. In the past 5-6 months, we've actually partnered with Amazon and NVIDIA to launch the first clinical grade foundation model for medical imaging. We've already gotten the first FDA clearance on an application that we built on top of this foundation model, but it's going to be a massive undertaking in the next few years, which we're really excited about. The reason why I'm saying all of that is I think this whole space is going to be explosive in the next few years. If today a good health system that, let's say, leaning in with AI would adopt 20, 25 use cases, I think a reasonable, like a medium of the pack health system 3 years from now will be adopting 100 to 200. Every patient interaction would have an AI guardian angel looking over it, ensuring quality of care is good, you're not missing anything important, collecting information, ensuring the patient gets the care that they need at the time they need it. And I believe this is not decades into the future. This is the next 3 to 5 years, we will have that AI running and providing this improvement in care. And I think this is a world where, in theory, all these, you know, diagnostic errors I've mentioned, 370,000 deaths, on top of that, 400,000 permanent disability, all of that could be at least halved if we do this correctly. It's a pretty bold vision, but I think the impact on human lives and society as a whole is going to be immense.
That's an incredibly bold vision, but you have to, I guess, prioritize somehow because there are so many diseases that you are not currently addressing. So do you have some kind of a plan in your mind? This is where we're going to go first, second, and third. How do you think about this process?
Obviously, we have to prioritize and we pick the areas based on, you know, acuity and disease burden. And every year we have a list of the things we need to do. But the biggest thing I would like to emphasize is the increase in innovation that we have with comprehensive models. Think about ChatGPT for a second. NLP in the past was you build one use case, you ask one question, right? You do the spell checker for the A words. ChatGPT does everything, right? You can ask it any question you want. And it basically allows us, the users, to build applications in rapid speed that are very generic. That is the future. So these foundation models are not going to be disease specific. They're going to be generic. It's going to take time to build. It's going to be a massive investment. But I think this would allow us to really capture and democratize access to disease detection such that ADOC would generate a lot of those, but also we have a whole ecosystem of people, health systems and other companies building on these models and integrating them into the workflow. So yes, we obviously have a plan, and I can mention like the first areas of focus. We're going to start with acute, then cancer. But in my mind, the more exciting part is that we're going to have a whole industry moving towards this, allowing massive proliferation of these use cases.
That makes absolutely total sense. And it's kind of on a parallel question. How do you think about evolution of the business model of monetizing this AI? Is that going to change, or are you kind of thinking about the same, tracking some KPIs and thinking from those KPIs, measuring your impact?
I think it will change just because of the sheer volume of indications. I sometimes use the Netflix analogy, right? So when you had not many movies, you could pick a movie, you would rent it. That was the model. And you would think about on a movie-by-movie basis and the ROI you would get from watching that movie. That is no longer possible when you're talking about hundreds of indications. Even thinking for a second what you want and how to evaluate it, that will be too costly. And nobody would really want to do that. We'll think about bigger adoption. So I think over time, we'll move to Netflix-type subscription where you're running a whole suite of AI tools on every patient. And you do it based on more, not by an AI solution, but really just like on your whole patient population. I believe that's a model we're going to go into over time, just because we have so many solutions running, but it's going to be a few years.
Fantastic. This has been a fascinating and insightful conversation, Elad. Thank you so much for sharing your passion and vision with us here on Where AI Works.
Thank you so much for having me.
So now let's review the key takeaways from my conversation with Elad today. So ADOC isn't just building a product. It's setting what I would call a new standard for clinical AI by delivering the infrastructure hospitals need to combine clinical logic, operational intelligence, and system-wide accountability. And the way the company does it is by starting with a scalable solution, not thinking about point solutions, but taking a system perspective and then running a sequence of experiments to discover the right KPIs to track impact of AI. The end goal is to achieve a healthcare ecosystem which will allow other players to plug in and offer a democratized, comprehensive solution, kind of like ChatGPT that we use nowadays, but for healthcare. And the way the system is going to be monetized, eventually there's going to be basically some kind of a subscription, sort of like a Netflix business model where users are just going to pay a subscription fee and enjoy all the benefits of this amazing platform. That's all for today. Thank you so much for listening. Please follow us so you don't miss an episode, and be sure to tune in the next time I'll be speaking with Teresa Nemesani, an executive at Microsoft who is focused on AI and digital transformation. This has been Where AI Works, conversations at the intersection of AI and industry, brought to you by Wharton in collaboration with Accenture. I'm Sergey Nitesin. Goodbye for now.